Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. The Nashville Predators, another win last night, this time via the shutout against the Ottawa Senators. 3-0 for the Predators last night. They've won 4 in a row. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators General Manager David Poile. David, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We are really good. Appreciate good. You taking time to be with us. So, David, as I said, you guys have won 4 games in a row, a shutout last night against Ottawa. What do you like about this recent stretch of play for your team with not only the goaltending that you're getting, but the offense that's been coming with it?
Yeah, I'm liking a lot about our team in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, we've won these 4 games in a row, as you said, but we also have been really in a lot of games. I think previous 2 weeks we lost 3 games in overtime. So we're in a good place right now. I really think the energy, the consistency is getting better. I like the way we're defending. Guys are blocking more shots. It feels like we're in a much higher compete area all through our lineup on, as I say, on a more consistent basis. And of course, it starts in our goaltending. And right now we have the best goaltender in the league in Juuse Saros, and it's an understatement to say that he gives us a chance to win every game. That game back in Carolina was one of the best goaltending performances I've ever seen. So I think he certainly got his swagger, and his play has given a lot of individual players more confidence.
Yeah, with Saros, David, I mean, we know, you know, he has had slow starts before the season, so it seems like there's some consistency there. But I just wonder, too, if maybe coming off the injury this year may have also made it a little bit different early in this season. Like, what have you seen from him just in terms of the progress from start to where he is now?
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, I think we have to kind of put this in a team situation. You know, we've talked about this on the previous shows. I mean, I really thought training camp was great. We go over to Europe. We win 2 games. I really think we're in a good place. But as a team and as individuals, we really didn't play very well for a long period of time. And, you know, I think Juuse would say the same thing about his game. It was a little bit off and inconsistent there. But right now he's back. And whether it's the same for everybody else or he's dragged everybody into the fight, as they say, it really feels that we're in a better place. And we have so many more players that are contributing and playing well. Our power play didn't score last night, but it looks really, really good. It's getting back to where it was last year, and that was such a great weapon for us in terms of the difference between winning and losing. And if we get that back anywhere near where we were last year, I mean, we're going to be a tough out.
Well, David, to that point, the offense has been, just simply from a scoring production standpoint, significantly better over the course of the last 2-3 weeks. Are you seeing anything different from individual players? Is it something systematically that's changed? Just what are you noticing as to why the offense has been so much better the last 2-3 weeks?
Well, the coaches have been really putting an emphasis on the offense in terms of their preparation, in terms of their systems. And I think we came to the realization that you know, we're not going to win every game 2-1 or even 3-2. And as I like to say, it's fun to score goals. And you know, we've had some good goal scorers that are down a little bit this year. And I like the way we're playing now. So I think there's been some adjustments, and there's been some you know, again, as you said, it's some system changes, and certainly been some changes on the power play, and all these things are contributing in at least some small part to us winning more games on a consistent basis.
So, we've talked with John Hines about that too, David, about, you know, some of the tweaks that have obviously paid off. So, for your role in that situation, like, what's your role in terms of this, you know, talking that through with the coaches as they're going through a change like that? And also, how much of, like, just this year in the league and the offensive, you know, just the way teams are scoring, I guess, played into that, if at all?
Well, as far as, you know, my role, I mean, I think it's fair that I have to keep everybody accountable, whether it's, you know, our scouting staff or our coaches and the players. And, you know, basically, I guess I would say I'm always asking, okay, what are we doing? What is our plan? What's our game plan? And then when you get into specific areas, and again, I'm sure this is pretty simple. It's like what's happened to our power plays? The same guys who were on the power play last year on that are on the power play this year, but it doesn't look anything near like it was. So just asking, you know, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we just make a few changes? I mean, they're well aware of, you know, what's not right and what's going well. That's why, you know, you start the year, and I guess on paper you have a lot of things that go, this will be your line combinations, and this will be your do your defense pairings. But as you can see, whatever pairings that we had at the beginning of the year, whatever lines, they're all different. And again, just trying to find some chemistry and things like that. And I'm sure that's with the highs and lows and the ups and downs in this business, not going to be the last time we change lines or defense pairings. But through tweaking things, through trying different things, and I think that's what a coach does. Is you can't just do the same thing every day if it's not working. And I'm really happy for them and the job that they're doing to get get our team back on track.
Predators General Manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, David, I mean, looking at the standings, there's only a few teams in the West and really a few teams in the league right now that I guess you could classify as out of it. With the calendar flipping to 2023, have you been able to get a sense or a gauge of what you think the trade deadline market could be like, or are we still maybe a little too early for that?
I think we're a little bit too early for that, but I would say – from GM speak, if you will, there's probably been a few more phone calls than usual. I think it's going to, pick up. In my own opinion, it won't be until after the All-Star break. So we're talking about February 6th or 7th for us, and that'll be about a 3-week to a month period that it's going to be really, really busy. To your point, the standings are pretty congested in this parity era that we have in the National Hockey League, and also what's more complicated than ever before is that there's not a lot of money in the system, meaning most teams are at the cap and don't have too much flexibility. So I think all of us are going to have to be really creative when it comes to making trades, because you might have to have a third party which is allowed to trade money. So for example, if a guy was making $1 million, if I say I want to acquire somebody but I didn't have the cap room, I might have to go through another team for them to take some dollars, probably have to give that team something, and then you go from there. So I'm a little, skeptical in terms of saying that this is going to be a real busy trade deadline, but teams usually are pretty creative and find ways to do it. But we're still a ways away from that, and there is not very much separation. So stay tuned. We'll see how it goes.
How do you view this team, David? And obviously you guys are playing really well right now, but just how do you view your team so far just in the context of this conference? There's been a lot of surprises throughout the Western Conference, but where do you think you guys stand right now relative to the other top teams?
Yeah, we got some work to do. I mean, we have not played as well in our division or our conference as I would like us to do, or I think we would need to do to be overly successful. Doing an analysis of our schedule after the All-Star break, we are very heavy in division and conference games, which I think is what it should be, and it's probably going to be perfect for us and the other teams, because as those will be classic 4-point games, if you will. You win those games, those are the teams that are going to be successful in your division and conference that are going to make the playoffs. So the schedule is set up that way, and to specifically answer your question, we've got to play better in our division, because that's how you're going to make the playoffs.
David, I know you're worried about your team and your roster, but Eli Tolvanen has gone to Seattle and has been productive so far with the Kraken. Can you take us through what exactly went into just exposing him to waivers and what that process was like for you guys, knowing that there were a lot of different moving parts with your roster at that time?
Yeah, that's tough decisions for young players. And we've tried Tolvi in lots of different situations with varying success. Where our team was going this year, it just didn't seem like he had a roster spot. I really believe if he's going to be successful, he needs to play in the power play, which is he's getting that opportunity in Seattle. And for us, he was just getting the second power play and some shorter period periods of time to exhibit his offensive capabilities. And we fourth line, which was, again, a little bit of cleanup minutes and playing, you know, 10 minutes or so every night. So did we give him enough opportunities? Should we have played him higher? I think, time will tell. Seattle's a team that plays a little bit differently than us. They really rotate almost their four lines equally. And offensively, they put him in a position higher than we have. So this could be a mistake on our part. That's on me if he turns out to be really successful. But we thought we tried him in a lot of different areas and different places. We were really hoping that we would get him through on waivers so that he could play in Milwaukee a little bit and then bring him back up. But, we had to make some decisions. We were not going anywhere. And again, he's doing well, great for him. And we've been doing better, not necessarily because of him, but because we've made a decision to go in another direction with different types of players. So time will tell how that works out.
You know, to that point, in a bigger picture question, David, how much does system matter in terms of, you know, individuals flourishing or not with a particular team?
I think that's, again, I'm a manager, not the coach. I think we all play approximately the same systems. Yes, there's tweaks in terms of just certain, situations specifically. I think it's the execution and the process. I mean, to me, this year, we have not been executing very well from whether it be, passes or just, say you're on the forecheck to put pressure on the other team, like we're just a little bit off. We're not quite there, second off or what have you. I think we are playing our systems better right now than we have all season long. And you can see a difference in terms of, as you had said earlier, offensively, the chances that we are generating. And for the most part, like last night, how we were able to protect the lead and it didn't, really feel that we were in much danger of after we got ahead 3-0, and even at the end of the second period when we had 2-0, that felt like that was going to be our game. So, it's the word again we've used so much this year is consistency, and then when you get right down to it, it's your compete, your will to want to win, to beat the guy to a puck or a one-on-one situation to win a battle. And again, I think in just talking about our team, I think that we're doing that better. So maybe the systems didn't look so good a month ago. I feel the systems look pretty good right now.
Well, David, congratulations on the recent success for your team. Good luck tomorrow night against Toronto. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get back into the Titans and the firing of Todd Downing coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Join 1025, 1063, The Game tomorrow night at Nobles, located 974 Main Street in East Nashville, for a Preds away game watch party as the Preds take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at 6:30. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game as well. Also, going to be at Nobles running 2-for-1 drafts, Wells and Wine, as well as Bud Light Buckets for $15. So make sure you drop by Nobles and check out the Preds as they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs coming up tomorrow. Joe, interesting stuff there from David Poile. I thought that the answer on Tolvanen was pretty interesting there in terms of Poile basically saying, well, we could have made a mistake there. Said this could be a mistake on our part. That's on me if he turns out to be really successful. We thought we tried him in a lot of different areas, different places, and Tolvin and continuing to score goals. I think he's got 3 goals in 5 games with Seattle.
Sorry, I was just texting shut up to Jared twice. Oh, but Jared liked your question. Good question by you.
Thanks.
I agree with Jared.
Appreciate
on Tolvanen. That was very interesting. And, you know, here's the thing with Tolvanen. We were just talking about this during the break with Chase. It's very not – like, it's totally predictable that he would go on a heater at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, oh, my God! I'm going to stand firm with I don't think Tolvanen's all that good, and I think we've seen who he is. We've talked about that a lot. But, hey, the timing right now is Tolvanen has put a couple in the net. So
the one thing I'll say on that front, and I agree. Like, I said this the other night on Twitter. Let's give it more than about 4 games before everybody starts losing their mind on Elie Tolvanen, and I still feel that way. Let's see how it plays out over the long haul. But one thing I will say is they've used him a little bit differently than the Predators have, and they've used him basically on his one-timer side on the power play, and he has just absolutely ripped a couple that have gone in the net. And you do watch that happen, you're like, okay, well, y'all couldn't have moved him over to his one-timer side on the power play?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. And that's the thing. Poile was kind of talking about his usage and everything, but he was like, it's on me. But he was kind of talking about the coaching.
Yeah.
You know, decisions with Tolvanen, right?
Yeah. So, again, look, there's plenty of time left to see how this plays out with Elie Tolvanen. He has certainly started well in Seattle. Get a little bit more time.
Yeah.
See how it goes with Tolvanen there. But interesting stuff from David Poile, nonetheless, who will join us every Tuesday morning, usually at 8:30. Joined us today at 8 o'clock. He's down doing some meetings. So a little bit of a different time today, but usually every Tuesday morning at 8:30. Joe, the news of the day yesterday for the Tennessee Titans, and a busy day for the Titans. Locker room cleanout day took place yesterday. Mike Vrabel addressed the media yesterday. And at the time of Mike Vrabel addressing the media, no coaching staff moves had been made to that point. And then a couple hours later, Todd Downing was fired by the Tennessee Titans, along with Keith Carter, Anthony Midgett, and Eric Frazier as well. So 4 moves made on the coaching staff yesterday by Vrabel and the Titans. Obviously, the headliner there is Todd Downing out as offensive coordinator. What did you make of those decisions by the Titans and specifically Vrabel to move on from those 4 coaches yesterday?
Well, the Downing one is the least – that's the biggest news of it, and that's the least surprising one. And, yeah, it makes sense. He hasn't been good as OC. Has he been the biggest idiot in the world who's never touched a football in his life? No. He's had severe personnel limitations that were not – his fault, but he still hasn't been very good. And so that wasn't surprising. And the way it went down wasn't surprising either. Vrabel doesn't want to be at a press conference answering questions. He'd rather say, hey, we're going to evaluate it this week while we're waiting for the email to come out to everybody that the decision's already made.
Yeah.
I was surprised by Keith Carter being fired. I think that was the most, and I don't know anything about Eric Frazier, the offensive skills assistant, but he got ousted too. Anthony Midgett, that probably would have been my number two guess, just in terms of if you had to go through the list of someone who might. I mean, I think they have missed Kerry Coombs in that role, but Keith Carter surprises me. I mean, for all that he's been through as O-line coach, and it just seems like they've had such good offensive line play when they had good personnel that I just look at this year and it's like, I don't know what the guy's supposed to do. I suppose you could look at it and say, make Dennis Daly a little bit better. Petit Frere was bad late in the season. Yeah, I don't know. But that surprised me because he's just been here the whole time through the ups and downs. Whereas Downing, 2 years of offensive regression, which again – has a lot to do with personnel, but he wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, I was not surprised at all by the firing of Todd Downing. Now, it is kind of funny that Vrabel got up there and was like, yeah, we're gonna evaluate the coaches, and that'll be part of the conversation. And 3 hours later, he's showing 4 coaches the pink slip there. So I think he knew heading into the press conference what was about to happen. Obviously, he did not want to discuss that at the press conference, so I guess I understand it from that standpoint. But the news of Todd Downing being fired did not really surprise me yesterday. The Keith Carter one did surprise me. I mean, I guess if you want to take the simplistic view of it, you say, okay, well, the Titans' offensive line was horrible this year, so you fired the offensive line coach. And I guess if you want to look at it that way, you can look at it that way. I would also say, okay, well, your starting left tackle got hurt on the first drive of the second game of the year. You drafted a rookie right tackle because the two rookie right tackles you had previously drafted did not work out. And I don't know, do you blame Keith Carter for Dylan Radin's not developing? You can do that if you want.
Apparently so.
I look at the offensive line and I'm like, okay, I understand that's what – if you want to do it that way, that's fine. But, like, what exactly was he supposed to do with that offensive line? Aaron Brewer as your starting left guard. Dennis Daly as your starting left tackle for the year. And we're not even talking about the injuries. I mean, look at what that offensive line looked like at the last part of the season. I mean – I will say that was a little surprising to me that Keith Carter had to be the one to pay the price there.
Well, sometimes people just have to be fired in this league too.
Yeah,
you lose seven straight games.
I get it.
And someone has to be fired. I mean that's another question that it'll be just like who had the final say, or it's just like. All these bad decisions. Did Keith Carter not have input when they drafted like Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Ray? You know, did Vrabel not have input on that? I mean, it is supposed to be collaborative, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's the big word over there, collaborative.
That is the big word. I will say we have a lot of Titans fans not named Jared Stillman today that are really upset on our text line that Craig Aukerman has made it through as special teams coordinator.
Yeah. Are those all Jared Brown?
Well, you know, couldn't tell you. But I'm just saying, I've seen it multiple times on the text line.
If there was a Stilley and Pauly, that'd be the entire show, wouldn't it? That Craig Aukerman. The news is that he wasn't fired.
Yeah.
Not that these other people were fired.
That's right. Matt Gallatin says, Keith Carter has coached two busts. He needed to go. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah Wilson, I don't think had anything to do. I have no idea. I'd love to find out someday.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
his talent. I don't think that's a Keith Carter.
Was
thing
he
at
on
all.
The field long enough for Keith Carter to really get his hands on him there?
Yeah, that one wasn't on him. Now look, Radin's. Yeah, he hasn't really developed.
Yeah,
so you could look at it that way too. But the question, of course, also is. Is it that somebody had to be fired? Hey, Mike, somebody's got to be fired.
Yeah.
Who's going to get fired?
Could be.
Or Vrabel just said, I'm going to fire these people.
Could be.
I don't know.
I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to that question. Coming up next, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the firing of Todd Downing as offensive coordinator. What does it mean for the Titans in terms of what the offense looks like as they move forward? Where do the Titans go from here? We'll get into all that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, call your own plays during the NFL playoffs with FanDuel, which is America's number one sportsbook, my sportsbook, because when you bet NFL same-game parlays from now through January 16th, all customers get up to $100 in free bets, win or lose. All you have to do, you place a total of $20 or more on NFL same-game parlay or same-game parlay plus bets during the wild card round of the playoffs. And, of course, the more you bet, the more you get back in free bets. NFL same-game parlay is a perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a larger payday. I will look at Jags Chargers. I'm excited about Jags Chargers, I got to say. And in this one, I actually think we may have a wild one. I'm going to go with the over. I'm going to go with the Chargers, and I'm going to go with Justin Herbert over on the passing yards too. Do whichever you want. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel's Top Rated Sportsbook app. If you're new, get $100 free bets, win or lose. Sign up with promo code Joe102. Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner in the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. Bonus issued is now double free bets. Expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, live from the 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. By the way, we did get a text earlier, Joe, asking this from John. Any update on the receipt situation from Melissa from your Rex rant yesterday?
I haven't emailed yet.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
You were given the slip of paper.
I have the slip of paper.
Responsibility
still
was put on you at that point.
I mean, I'm just protesting. I'm going to wait a day. I'll do it today.
It's a good thing you weren't busy yesterday.
I honestly saw that text and I was like, what? What are they talking about?
Oh, you forgot?
I completely forgot.
Man.
Like, who's Melissa?
We'll find out.
Keith on the text slide says JOMO code Pro 20. Good stuff.
Nice.
JOMO code. 615-737-1025, your thoughts on the firing of Todd Downing. So what's interesting to me, look, like I said, not surprised that this happened. I think it's the right move for the Titans to move on and find another offensive coordinator. What I'm really interested in now that it has happened and that Todd Downing is out as OC is, where do the Titans go from here? What exactly is their approach going to be as it relates to the offensive coordinator? Do you go in-house? And is it as simple as, well, we got Tim Kelly here. We hired him to be the passing game coordinator. We tried to get an interview with him a couple of years ago for OC. Didn't work. And now he's in our building, and he's going to be the guy. He's the offensive coordinator. Or do they look maybe outside of the organization and look to find an offensive coordinator that is not currently affiliated with the Tennessee Titans? That's going to be really interesting to me to see how Vrabel and the Titans approach that. If you look at history for the Titans, Shane Bowen, after, as you pointed out earlier, basically was, I don't know, what do you call him that one year? Defensive coordinator in waiting?
He was the pre-coordinator.
He was the pre-coordinator, yeah. the 1 year for the defense. He was in-house. Obviously, Arthur Smith was elevated to offensive coordinator after Matt LaFleur was here. He was in-house. And then Todd Downing, who, as you pointed out, was hired originally for the tight ends coach outside of the organization, but once he was there, was promoted to the offensive coordinator in-house. So Vrabel has not traditionally looked outside of the organization for these roles on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Will that change now that Todd Downing is out? Interested to see.
Yeah, and of course, it's a little different too, because Tim Kelly was just brought in last year, which kind of looked like, wow, maybe this is the new OC in waiting, a guy that they were interested in when they hired Downing. And so, I mean, he's my odds-on favorite, Tim Kelly, to get the job. And maybe he's the best choice. But again, if we're going to blame, you know, we want to blame Todd Downing for everything. He's gone, and it's just easy. But Tim Kelly was here this year also as part of this offense. Right? Vrabel was here this year also as part of this offense. So I just think it's worthwhile to actually talk to different people and be open to bringing in even people that you don't know that well or don't already have the trust or relationship with you. I mean, you're going to have to at times.
Oh, and there's different candidates that will be thrown out there. We've heard today from people that want to take a look at Cliff Kingsbury to be the offensive coordinator after he was fired yesterday as head coach of the Cardinals. You know, I brought up Bill O'Brien earlier from obviously the days where they coached together with the Texans. Bill O'Brien, currently the OC at Alabama. Will he be there again? Does he want to get back in the NFL? There's a lot of questions that we don't know, but it really comes down to Vrabel. Like, what does he want to do? Like, who does he want to go hire as his offensive coordinator? You know, as far as the candidates are concerned, you know, I hear what people are saying on Kingsbury. You know, I don't know that that would be the greatest fit for the Titans. I think he's a good offensive mind, obviously. That's why he got hired. I could almost see him going back to college football, though.
Yeah, if he doesn't go with McVay and the Rams.
Well, he could do that,
too. I feel like Vrabel just might, you know, want to punch him. I don't know why. I get that. It's kind of like with LaFleur. He seemed to annoy Vrabel, too.
Yeah.
He seems to annoy you.
Tell you who else he's annoying right now, yeah.
I don't know. The whole, again, Vrabel had another, and he was asked about trust. There were a lot of questions about Downing yesterday, because we didn't know the press release was already written that Downing was fired. But he talked about the two-way street and trust and all that stuff and coaches not looking for other jobs. And I don't know, is Kingsbury – I mean, Kingsbury at this point, is he going to be excited about coming in? I mean, who out there who's established looks at the Tennessee Titans right now and says, oh, sign me up?
Yeah. That's the thing.
For the completely awful offensive line, a 29-year-old running back and aging quarterback who had a high ankle sprain and no receivers. Sounds awesome.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm interested to see how long it takes to hire the new offensive coordinator. Because one thing that I would want to know if I'm taking the OC job here is, all right, well, who's my quarterback going to be? Is Derrick Henry going to be here to be the running back? What's your plan to address the offensive line? What's your plan to address wide receiver? Like, there's a whole lot of questions I'd be asking if I was an offensive coordinator candidate because, I mean, right now, the way the offense is currently constructed, I said this earlier, you can be a Titans fan, you can feel however, whatever way you want to feel about Todd Downing, fine. But if you think that his firing alone is just going to magically cure this offense, I think you're crazy. Like, there's so much work that they still have left to do from a personnel standpoint. That's why I'm interested to see how long this takes, because if I'm an OC candidate, I want to know the answers to all those questions before I take the job, and they may not know that for a while based on they still have to hire a general manager.
Yeah, and then the GM's looking at it like, okay, let's see. So the owner fired the last GM in the middle of a season, and now I'm equals with the coach, quote-unquote equals. I do like the word collaboration, though. Sign me up. Now, look, again, the point of that Sando is made, Mike Sando made on the show. We may never. Can we ever have Mike Sando on again now that we have had this hour lopped off?
Well, maybe not even. He may be lost into the wind, man.
Michelle, maybe you guys can have Mike Sando on your show.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't sound very enthused by it.
Yeah, well, maybe. We'll see.
Sorry, my mic got messed up.
It's all good.
But the point that he made is absolutely valid. There's 32 GM jobs, so if you're a personnel person who's on the rise in this league, you don't turn them down. You don't say, nah, I don't think I want to interview with you guys.
Yeah.
But if you're one of the top people who's pursued and you have three or four possibilities in there, like this one probably is less attractive than others, right? Because of what I just described.
You would think that that's the case. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, buddy. Hey, do you remember a few years ago the Preds were still really good, but we had like a lingering issue? We could not score a power play goal.
Oh, yeah.
Had the worst power play ever. PK was the head of it, and that's pretty much what I think got him fired. But, yeah, so that's the way I feel about the Titans offensively right now, man, is that it's the Preds 2019 power play. Like, it's so goofy and sloppy looking, and that there's always this narrative, man, that's like Derrick Henry's Hall of Fame running back, and, you know, he's got to lead the league in rushing for us. When's the last time a guy led the league in rushing and the team won the Super Bowl? Like, I'm curious to that question. Like, I'm not saying have a sorry running game. I'm saying that's not the modern NFL anymore. And so that, if I just go into what you guys are talking about, if I was a coordinator, I would be thinking, okay, so am I going to have to run this guy to death because you guys say that's your identity? Like, that's who Nashville is a team that just runs this guy, you know, until there's no tread left on the tire. So, I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, man. I know if I was a coach, if I was a quarterback, if I was anybody coming into this system, I would want to know what plans were with Derrick Henry. Honestly, it's going to sound stupid. I'm sorry. I would even consider shopping him, man. And I hate to say that because he's my favorite player. He's probably my favorite Titan ever. But that's how, like, serious I am about changing the culture of you just can't just run him all the time and that be it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, it's from a philosophy standpoint, Joe, it's interesting to see where they're at because you can view philosophy two different ways. The way they run their offense, is there going to be a change from that standpoint based on the next offensive coordinator? Are they looking to change the way they run the offense? I don't know. And number two, personnel. Like, maybe they're running the same offense, but if Tannehill's not your quarterback and Derrick Henry's not your running back and you're in a rebuild – like, those are two pretty big things, two pretty big philosophies that you got to get figured out if you're Vrabel before you hire the next offensive coordinator. And again, if I have an OC candidate, I want to know what your plan is for who my quarterback's going to be next year.
Yeah.
And maybe it's as simple as Ryan Tannehill. I don't know.
And by the way, that's a great question by Adam. I just looked it up. You'd be going back to the Broncos and Terrell Davis in 1998, if my research is correct here on the fly. But this is where I would defend Vrabel and the whole situation is. I think he reacted to his best player, and that's. I don't think that Mike Vrabel. I mean, one of his quotes that really stood out to me yesterday was talking about how they need to get faster.
Yes.
Now one. Could also be looked at a little shade as John Robinson, but it's a good point. Remember, he was brought in, and it was not going to be everything's built around Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry demanded that everything be built around him by being great. He changed what they did, including Matt LaFleur at the end of his 1 year here, because it was like, okay, you have to give this guy the ball.
Yep.
Going back to that Jags game, actually, 99-yarder. So I think those questions are good to be asked if you're an OC candidate, but I think if you look at everything, Vrabel. I don't think Vrabel's like, what's the next 250-pound back we can find? I need the next Christian Okoye and Barry Word situation in here pronto. I think
Brandon Jacobs or bring me death. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I think Vrabel was. You know, he won Super Bowls with the best quarterback in the league, so I think he's good with passing. Speed.
I have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. They fire Todd Downing, Keith Carter, Anthony Midgett, and Eric Frazier yesterday. So four moves made by the Titans with their coaching staff. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Sean on the text line says, Vrabel will run the same system he's always run. He tells you this every time he trots out a new OC. He won't change that. Conversely, when the talent was better in this offensive system, they averaged almost 30 points per game. It can work, but talent is key, and they're void of that. This from Sean on the text line.
Yeah, so again, the system, quote-unquote, the system. I mean, it's the whatever the heck you want to – it's the West Coast offense, but it's the, you know, it's the whatever. The new version of the West Coast offense.
Yeah.
It's the most celebrated offense in the NFL. It's the offense that Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan run with – you know, fantastic results for one of them this year, even with Brock Purdy at quarterback. Your Packers, Matt LaFleur runs this offense. I mean, the system is not – it's not a discussion point, you know. I mean, good coaches take what they have and they build around that, and they have done that with Derrick Henry. And 2 years ago, that is a great point. They averaged 31 points a game. They had a great offense because they could beat people downfield. And they had a good offensive line, and Derrick Henry was great. And Ryan Tannehill was great that year too, by the way.
He was. And, no, people on the text line saying that Dobbs is better than Tannehill. Can we please stop? I don't have time today to get into that, but can we just please stop?
Could it be a Rob rant?
I like Josh
gonna,
Dobbs.
Are you going to Rob rant against a fellow, you know, Vaughn?
Good Lord, folks, come on. I mean, let's use our eyes here.
Look, some people think Tannehill – is terrible. It's amazing. And again, it's also amazing, like how different we discuss him now than like a year ago, for example. Let's say, you know. but I mean, like, there's a certain baseline of you're a starter in the NFL, which is he is, and Joshua Dobbs is not.
Well, not only is he a starter in the NFL, he's what, a top 16, 17, 18 quarterback somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, again,
hey, he's right in the same level of like a Cousins, a Goff.
Again, I don't have a whole lot of time for the Joshua Dobbs is better than Ryan Tannehill discussion. I've already probably given it more oxygen.
Yeah,
I know.
You brought it up, man.
But good gracious, let's be a little bit better than this. But offensively for the Titans, I mean, look, that's speaking of Tannehill, you got to figure that out. Is he going to be your quarterback next year? And you brought up some quotes from Vrabel yesterday. He was asked about Ryan Tannehill and being the starting quarterback for the Titans. And, you know, basically his answer was, well, you know, he's our starting quarterback. If he wasn't injured right now, we need him to focus on getting healthy and being our quarterback, is what Vrabel said yesterday. And you're like, okay, well, great. That sounds good, I guess.
Does that mean that he thinks maybe they'll get a special exception and get back into the playoffs?
I don't know. I don't know. But I guess my takeaway from that wasn't really definitive one way or the other in terms of what it means for Tannehill and his future. I'm leaving the door open to a lot of different possibilities. Like, I think if you're the Titans, I think you should leave the door open to different possibilities. Number one, you got to find out who the general manager is, and you can kind of go from there. But, you know, will you be given an opportunity to maybe try to move up in the draft this year and find a quarterback? I don't know. I think it's something you should look into. Is there an option out there via trade or free agency, a quarterback that you feel like is an upgrade? Standing here right now, I don't know what that would be that would want to come here. Like, people keep talking about, and we got some texts about this yesterday, like Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers or Brady coming to the Titans. Like,
one of those isn't possible.
Well, one of those isn't possible with Rodgers, just the cap hit that goes along with it. And, like, right now, I realize Brady and Vrabel are good friends, but, like, Brady looking at this offense right now, what possible reason would he have to come here?
He's like, hey, Vrabel, I like you all, but you're going to need to fix that old line in front of me.
Big fan of Dennis Daly.
Yeah. Yeah, let me stand in front of that guy. Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
The Vrabel offense could be
something. He could be QB, also OC, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like with a lot of these things, talk about OC, GM, and, yeah, quarterbacks. They're looking at the Tennessee Titans right now. How excited are they?
I mean, I don't know how you could be that excited. Now, granted, you know, a lot could change in an offseason.
Yeah.
You could upgrade your offensive line. You could add some pieces at wide receiver. All those things could happen, and it could look pretty different. But right now, like, if you're Brady, yep, let me look at the Titans. That's where I want to be.
Yeah. I mean, he got in the playoffs this year, and credit to him because he had a couple huge performances after I thought he looked really bad a lot of this year.
And who knows? He might win a playoff
game. If Dak's going to give him the ball Monday night, he might. But they were bad. Their offensive line was bad. I don't think he enjoyed it too much. Didn't look like he was enjoying it too much. When he picked Tampa Bay, there wasn't a lot of talk about it, but it was brilliant. It was like, that's a great roster. Look at those receivers, and they won it all. That was a good choice by him. I don't think this would be considered a good choice by him.
I don't think so. So I say all that to say I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like. They're in a really interesting spot, and it was made more interesting yesterday with obviously the opening at OC and Amy Adams Strunk's comments on the general manager situation. And as somebody brings up on the text line, and you brought this up in your Rex rant earlier, a little bit of a shot thrown by Vrabel Derrick Henry yesterday, fumbling the football, which, as you pointed out, in a press conference setting, slightly out of character from Mike Vrabel yesterday.
Yeah. A bit. Oh, hey, get him muted at the end. So, by the way, this unnamed person just keeps going back to you. And Dobbs. Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you just leave it alone. Mute. Can we mute on the text line? No, the comment on Derrick Henry was really interesting. It was just surprising to me. Of all the things said yesterday, that was when I was like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. I had a question about Todd Downing. Now, I've been told, you know, holding the top players accountable, and I get that. It's just not something that he has done too often. I don't think it necessarily means, here's a hint, everybody, we're moving on from Derrick Henry. I just thought it was a little weird, and I think with Vrabel, well, we had David Poile on earlier too, there's this player blaming over coach blaming issue maybe that we kind of have in town, maybe with both franchises a little bit. Player blaming. No coach blame.
Well, and especially yesterday, like I said, Vrabel, you had to know walking up on the podium, if you're him, that you're getting ready to fire Todd Downing. And I'm not saying you had to get up there and just crush the guy, but no. Like maybe say something. Hey, what do you think Todd Downing's done well this year? Well, Derrick Henry's fumbled the ball a lot. Okay, great. That has nothing to do with what we just asked you, but cool.
Yeah, and you can take that too to like – I don't know. Maybe he didn't know, And then he was having lunch, and Amy Adams Strunk called him and said, "You're firing Downing now, right? You don't need to evaluate this week. Fire him right now." I don't know. I can't prove that it didn't happen.
No. It's a very interesting day over there yesterday with the Tennessee Titans, no question about it. We'll have more on it coming up tomorrow. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.